Psalms chapter 85. Psalms chapter 85. There's 13 verses in this psalm. We'll read all 13 verses, but we're not going to preach out of all of them. But they're good to read. The Bible said in Psalms 85 and verse 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. You know, that part right there, Selah, is a pause or a stop in the psalm. That means to think about what you just heard. You need to stop right there and give it a pause and think, what did he say? Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. What a blessing that is. To know that your sin has been taken care of. And I praise God for that. Verse 3, Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. You can be seated. You find in this psalm a time when Israel have obviously been in captivity, because he talks about that in verse 1. And God has brought them back and began to restore them. And the psalmist praises the Lord for being forgiven. It said that he had taken away his wrath. And then they ask in verse 4, said, Turn us, O God. You find in verse 6, he said, Wilt thou not revive us again? And I want to preach, having a thought for just a little while this morning, God being our helper, on do you and I need revival? Do you and I need revival? And somebody once said not everybody needs revival, and that's true. Some people are living as close as they can to God. Some people are doing what they can for the Lord. But this message will only work if we'll be honest with ourselves and with God. If we sit there and make excuses for the shape that we're in, or we try to reason out for what's going on in our life, but we don't want to fix it, then this message won't help. But he said, Wilt thou not revive us? Again, I think revival is a good thing. A restoration, a refreshing. The terminology revival is defined as this, a return or recall or a recovery to life from death or an apparent death, such as the revival of a drowned person. You cannot revive something that's been dead. You understand that? I mean, that's been dead, you can't revive it. It has to have life. So when you got saved, you were given life in Christ. And there was some excitement there in Christ. But I'm afraid that some of us has lost our excitement and lost our zeal and lost our ability and that to praise Him, worship Him, and serve Him like we should. It means to return or to recall to an activity from a state of languor. It means to recall or to return or recover. They all mean the same, you see, from a state of neglect or obscurity or depression. It means renewed or a more active attention and that to religion. Revival is a good thing, but it is more than just a series of meetings that a church will put on. Listen, we have revival here. We schedule the preacher. He may preach anywhere from 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 days, depending on what God wants. And in those meetings, you want folk to get help. I want to get help. I want God to do something for me. Listen, that would draw me closer to Him. But listen, it's not the series of meetings that matter. It is what God does with your heart. You see, you need to let Him work in your heart. It's more, listen, it's where we come to see the situation that we're truly in and wanting God to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Revival is made for saved folk, even though we've seen lost folk get saved in revival times. But listen, I'm not talking about revival times in that situation. And I'm glad God can save. Amen. I'm glad that if you're lost this morning, you need to get saved. You need to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, trusting Him for all things and in all things for eternity. And you need to come and trust Him. Thank God He still saves. If you'll come and believe and trust and repent and turn, thank God for that. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Thank God. Today you can get right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But I want to look at this thing about revival. A renewal or a refreshing. You got to be honest with yourself and honest with God. Number one, do you and I need revival? Well, let me ask you this question. Have you grown cold? Have you grown cold toward the things of God? And toward the people of God, and toward the service of God, have you grown cold at that? You know, the church, he told over in the book of Revelations chapter 2, and you know, church folk can grow cold sitting on a church pew.
Yeah.
They can get cold, literally, sitting on a church pew. And you know what he told the church at Ephesus in Revelations chapter 1? He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Man, these are some of the best independent Baptists you've ever seen in your life. Man, they were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. I mean, they were trying people's works. They were doing what they thought they were supposed to do. But in verse 4, you know what he said? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, you've left your first love. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. He said, remember where you are. What I want some of y'all to do this morning is ask yourself this question. Was there a time when you enjoyed serving God more than what you do now? Is there a time in your life, some of you right now are enjoying serving God more than you ever have right now in your life. You're just enjoying serving God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not preaching to you. I'm really not preaching to you this morning. And if you are that way, then you sit there and pray and say, Lord, help our preacher. Amen. But let me ask you, you know what he told the church up there? He said, you've left your first love. You forgot what it was all about. You forgot what I called you to do. You forgot what I sent you out to do and what I wanted you to do. Where are you at in your life in Christ this morning? Listen, our job is to follow Him. I have a hard time with that sometimes, just following Him. Sometimes I just want to do my thing and not His. Sometimes I want to go my way and not His. And I begin to give thought about how do we grow cold sitting on a church pew? And do I need revival? Do I need God to move in my life? You know, sometimes there's just certain things in life that slip up on us. And I won't say that it catches us unaware. But sometimes before we turn around, it's already trapped us, got us. We get our priorities out of of order. I've watched folks sitting in church get their priorities so far out of order. I mean, they can barely come to church. When they do come, they can't enjoy it. They ain't serving God through the week at all, hardly. I don't pick up their Bible and read. I don't pray, don't meditate on this book. Don't thank God. I don't pray no more over food. Don't do anything except just exist in their Christian life. I want to do more than exist in my Christian life. Amen. I don't want to be cold on God. I want to be revived. Amen. He said, wilt thou not revive us? A lot of people, man, they get in the mess. In verse 2, you know, it says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. You know, sin is what gets us in the position that we're in. Sin will get us in that position. Maybe the sin of bitterness. Maybe the sin of malice or anger. I mean, it turns our world upside down. Whether we get bitter at God or bitter at somebody. I get bitter at somebody in the church. Get angry with somebody in the church. I remember hearing a preacher tell, we was preaching a meeting together. And y'all know this story. He talks about two ladies in his church. They had got so bitter at one another that if they walked down the aisleway and was passing, so they wouldn't even look at one another. They'd turn when they'd go. That's no way to be with God's people. Amen. Amen. You better get a hold of this morning. Listen, we need to serve Him to the best of our ability with what He's wanting us to do. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, we ought to be always ready and that to forgive. Always be ready and that to let it go, and then we go on and serve God. But there's folks sitting on church benches today that cannot let go of the past, and they're never going to be revived, never going to do anything for God till they let that thing go. I don't know what that's for, but amen, it's awful good this morning. I want you to listen to me. It may not be none of those things, but what's hindering you from serving God? What's hindering you from being where you need to be? It may be family trouble. It may be that life has got in the way. Sometimes you've got to kick life out of the way. Amen. And say, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Sometimes you just got to figure out how to sneak away and just find a time of prayer and seek God. You got to find a time to get alone with God. Listen, sometimes it is sin. Sometimes it's sin has got in the way. Disobedience and that under Christ. Folk can sit on a church pew and be wrong with God and have sin in their heart and in their life and doing things that they should not do and still come to church and put on a smile and still get up, shake folks' hands, still sing, but it don't mean the same thing to you. Listen, you've maybe said some things you shouldn't have said. Maybe went some places, done some things that you shouldn't do. But I want you to think back to a time. Has there ever been a time when you were happier in Christ than you are right now? What happened? What happened? I can tell you this. I know life happens. I get that. Every one of us in here that's got any age on us at all knows that life happens. Bad times come in life, and if we ain't so careful, we'll let that drag us down and we won't be doing what we're supposed to do. Amen. Whatever the reason, I don't know. I don't know what your reasoning is for not being where you need to be with God, but what is it? But I'm going to tell you, it's going to make you grow cold, and you're going to need revival. You need revival. He said, turn us. Well, some of us just need to be turned. Some of us just need to be turned. He said, wilt thou not revive us? Wilt thou not revive us? You know what we need to do? We need to hear God speak to our heart. In verse 8, he said, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. Are we listening? Are we listening to the Lord of what he wants out of our life? Listen, what has made us cold on God today? Then what are we to do about it? What are we to do about that? If we've grown cold on God, what are we to do? You've got to be honest. You got to be honest with yourself and honest with God. Boy, if me and you won't be honest, then it ain't going to help. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do is just be honest with me. Be honest with God. As I can say, I can tell you all kinds of things with a smile on my face, and you ain't going to know no different. But boy, I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven looking down in your heart today.
Amen.
And He knows the truth. Again, we got to be honest. We've got to deal with what got us away from God. I want you to take your Bible this morning and go over to the book of 2 Kings. Go to the book of 2 Kings, would you? 2 Kings chapter 23. I want you to read this with me. We'll be in 2 Kings 22 and 23 probably. And we're talking about Josiah, King Josiah. In 2 Kings chapter 22, I'll just give you an overview of that real quick. Josiah has become king. He's been a young king. And the Bible said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. All right, so now he's got some age on him now at this point. And you know what they begin to do? They begin to restore the house of God. The house of God is broke down. If you read chapter 22, they begin to restore. They begin to go in and fill up the breaches, the holes in the wall, everything that's broke down. You know, sometimes that's what me and you got to do. We got to start repairing what's broke down. Our prayer time, our study time, our reading time. You just got to repair it. You might have to repair something with somebody and repair that relationship with God. But you know what the Bible says over here? It says while they were repairing the house of God, it said in verse 8, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Now you know what they done? They took that book and they went to the king and they read it before the king. And the Bible says over here that boy in verse 11, "And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes." Boy, he heard something that disturbed his heart and bothered him. When's the last time God bothered your heart? When's the last time that He's disturbed you? When's the last time that He told you you need to draw close? When's the last time that He come by and knocked on your door? Was it Hovey? I'm trying to remember if it's Hovey. I can't remember which one of them boys wrote that song. How long has it been? That old Southern gospel favorite. How long has it been? Well, how long has it been since you knelt and both felt God touch your heart? How long has it been since you just spent some time alone with Him and God come by? How long has it been? How long has it been since you come to church and just felt like praising God? We get so burdened down and drugged down with this world that, man, we forget where we're headed. We forget who we're serving. We forget what He's done for us. Well, them boys sung about this morning that it's still the blood, that He shed His blood at Calvary so we could be saved. We forget that. So you know what the king done? But when he heard the word of the law, he knew the shape that Judah was in. He understood that. Had Josiah rent his clothes? Why? Because God, no doubt, had told him what they needed to do, what they didn't need to do. And if they didn't do right, a judgment was coming. And that's why he rent his clothes. How do you know that? Because he sent him over here to inquire of the Lord. And in the middle of 18, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, is touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender," talking about the king now, "and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake unto this place, and again the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. You know what they told the king? They said, "Look, God said, since you got things right, since you rent your clothes and humbled your heart when you heard the word of God, you've done something about it. You've done something about it." He said, "Then I'm not going to bring it now." So you know, it's one thing to know. It's one thing to know about your sin. But it's another to do something about it.
Amen.
You can sit in here today and say, "Yeah, the preacher's saying everything is right. and everything is true. But until you do something about it, it ain't going to make no never mind. You know, if you read in chapter 23, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And people stood to the covenant. You know what he done? You know what the king done? He got there and he read what God had said. And he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a covenant unto God that we're going to follow him and do what we're supposed to do. And the people stood to it. So you know, when they made that covenant, you find in verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at brook Kidron and stamped it in small powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And you can go on down through here and read how he destroyed the houses of the Sodomites. You can see that, man, he just done everything that he could to get what was wrong out. Now, you know that something's wrong. And you come and pray. But you got to repent. Amen. You know what that means? That means you got to turn away from what you're doing.
Right.
You got to make that thing. I mean, you got to have some godly sorrow under repentance. You want to get right with God, but until you let go of what's keeping you away from Him, it ain't going to work. It just ain't going to work. You got to get me. You got to get you out of the way. You know, that's what Hannah had to do. You know, if you go over and you look in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, you'll find that Hannah was a woman of a sorrowful soul and a bitter soul. I believe 1 Samuel 1 and 10 says she was over in bitterness of soul. And I mean, she wasn't right with God. She couldn't be right with God. I mean, she was of sorrowful spirit. I mean, she was literally in a mess of everything that was going on in her life that she couldn't even have control over. You ever think about that? Hannah didn't have control over what was going on in her life, but she did have control over how she responded to it and how she dealt with it. Am I doing okay today?
Yes.
All right. Well, we need revival. I need revival. You find that when you go back to Genesis 35, Jacob is now headed to Bethel. He's left Laban. Genesis 35 and verse 1. It tells us while he's on his way. And Bethel's where he's going to meet with God at. And God said unto Jacob, verse 1, chapter 35, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. Now remember, they're going to meet God. He said, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Now see, some of y'all know what Jacob's talking about. You remember a time when God helped you. You remember a time when God has been your friend, when God has come by and He stirred your heart. You remember a time when God has done something for you, but it ain't that way right now. It's not that way. Am I right? Amen. I mean, now listen, if you don't need revival, then you're in good shape. But I would dare say some of us just need some work in our heart. Jacob, you know what he done? He's headed back to Bethel. He said, here's what we're going to do. He's on his way. He's on his way to go meet with God for God to do something over there when he performs that sacrifice at that altar. And he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of all the gods that with God. He said, we're going to get rid of them. He said, we're going to wash ourselves and we're going to change our garments. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And you'll find that he come to the place of Bethel. He got there. You know, before me and you can really ever meet with God, truly meet with God, our hearts got to be right with Him. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When's the last time you prayed and talked to the Lord and you know God heard you? Now, I know sometimes they don't get above the ceiling. I get that. That's a bad day. I like to pray and know that I touched heaven. But I'm just going to be honest with you. There's some days that I don't feel like I've touched heaven, but I still pray anyway.
That's right.
I keep praying. But you know, in 2 Kings, King Josiah put away everything. You know what the Bible tells us over here? It tells us when they were going to keep the Passover in chapter 23. And in verse 21, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah. You know what the Bible tells us, and I believe it's in the book of 2 Chronicles 35, that they hadn't had a Passover like that since the days of Samuel. When's the last time you really spent some time alone with God? He said that, boy, this thing is different. This thing's different. I don't want to go on. We get so burdened with the world. We get so burdened with politics. We get so burdened with seeing what's happening that we lose sight of everything that we're supposed to be doing. I've got preacher friends that I don't know how they, you know, I quit watching the news a long time ago. But I'm talking about they really don't know nothing going on in the world. And one feller said, somebody asked me, well, how do you know what's going on in the world? Because somebody like you will probably tell me. Amen. That's what he says. Are we hiding our head in the sand? No, but I'm going to tell you, we get so burdened down with this life, it'll wear us out. So when we realize we need revival, we fix what's wrong, then what should happen? That heart should be broken because of the situation we're in. But you know, it's God that'll fix that thing. You know, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that what? That thy people may rejoice in thee. What did the psalmist say in chapter 51 after he got right with God? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. When's the last time that you rejoiced in Him? I mean, honestly, had joy. Come into the house of God and couldn't wait to get in the choir. Man, come with an expectation of God wanting to do something here. Come in with an expectation of, boy, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in our service today. I can't wait to get home and spend time alone with Him, spend time with my family. Listen, I know we've got family time. I know we've got all that. I understand that. I get that. Chores had to be done. I get that. Well, when's the last time you've just been joyful in Him? I mean, just been tickled dead to be saved and going to heaven. When's the last time? It'll do something to you. It'll do something to you. What do you mean it'll do something to you? You know, the very next verse after David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit," then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I can remember a time in my life that you probably wasn't going to get away from me if you didn't get something like this. But for some reason, I've slowed down on them. Something happened. You know what happened when Hannah got done praying and got right with the Lord? The Bible said that her countenance was sad no more. She was sad no more. She wasn't holding the baby. She wasn't walking out of that tabernacle with a baby in her arms, but she was sad no more. Why is that? Because she had gave it all to the Lord. She had let the Lord handle that thing. Now you read over in 1 Samuel chapter 2. You know what Hannah done? You go over and you read and you'll find about is it 10, 12, 15 verses? You'll find that she had her prayer of praise. Yes. And she praised the Lord. Let me ask you something. Have you left your first love? Or do you need revival? Or are you where God needs you to be? Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would.